All right. Yeah. So 2026, some of us probably have set some New Year's resolutions for our lives. And sometimes those are helpful. Like sometimes they really can work. I got to say, you know, most of the time when I just sort of set those things for myself, I end up just sort of falling off, you know, after not too long. Maybe I'll get a couple weeks out of it, maybe less. Sometimes things last a little longer, but, you know, the longer I've been pursuing the Lord and really going after the power of the Spirit that is within us and really leaning into and depending on the source of power that God has available to us, New Year's resolutions have taken a little bit of a backseat to just me saying, I just want to live my life for Christ. Everything that I do, I want it to glorify God. Amen? All right, so it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with New Year's resolutions. I just kept failing at them, and I hate failing. So I had to stop doing that because I was just feeling bad about myself. So I do, though, want to start out this year. And really, I mean, remember, God. It says the scriptures say that God's mercies are what? New every morning, right? Every morning his mercies are new. So we don't need a January 1st, right, to have a reason to step out and you know, want more for our lives, you know, or make some changes. We don't need that, but somehow, you know, as humans, it's just like it's like that beginning. Remember the first day of school, you know, and your teacher always said, "Well, everybody's got an A, you know, let's see if you can keep it," right? So there's something about that January 1st that just, I don't know, it's just exciting for me. So I feel like this year, this 2026 has so much potential in the Lord, that he has amazing things in store for us. And what's our part in that, right? That I think that's what we have to determine on any given day is what is our part in the role of making this year everything that it can be. All right, so if that's interesting to you, you are in good company. As we are going through our anchored reading program, which is where we take from to bring these messages to you each weekend, we're in the book of Matthew. In the New Testament this year, this first month of January, we're in the beginning. We started over right in the New Testament, and we're starting up in the book of Matthew. So I hope you guys are following along with that anchored reading program. By the way, I'm Pastor Scott, youth pastor here at Godspeak. I know many of you, maybe not all right? Normally, you'll find me across the parking lot on Sundays with the middle school and high schoolers, along with Lucas, our middle school leader, director, and we love the youth. All right, but every once in a while, I get an opportunity to come and share with you guys. So I'm honored always when Pastor Micah gives me that chance. He will be back tomorrow. If you miss him already, you can come at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Pastor Micah will be here. All right, so anyways, we're in the beginning. We're back in the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. And as I was looking through, it wasn't that long ago. You guys, many of you were here last year, and Micah did a whole thing on the Sermon on the Mount. You guys remember that? He went like quite a few months and went through the whole thing. It was awesome, right? So when he asked me, you know, give me the opportunity to share, I'm like, all right, let me look where we are. And I'm like, oh, we're like right there, and right there in the Sermon on the Mount again. So I'm like, do I repeat something, you know, or do I try to bring something new? Before the ushers fall over and faint, if you need a Bible, please raise your hand. Ushers will bring those to you so that they can go and have a seat. I'm sorry, guys. Still getting used to that. All right, Bibles. Bibles, Bibles. I always make the youth hold up their Bibles. I say, who brought their Bible? Hold it up. Amen. And I keep telling them, yeah, there are a lot of you. I keep telling them, the day that everybody brings it, we're going to do something really special. I didn't tell them what, because I don't know what we're going to do. But bring your Bible, right? That's so important to have our own. And I tell them, and this is not a boasting thing, but I just said, look, like, your Bible should just be like, I have pages falling out of my Bible because I, you know, get there in there so much and highlights, and I make a mess of my Bible just because I go through it and I circle it and I highlight it and make notes, and we want to be just voracious, like, readers of this word, because it is the directions for life, guys. All right, it's I hope you are in love with your word, with the word of God, because it's so beneficial to us. So if you will open up with me to the book of Matthew, All right, we will be in chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. All right, and I looked back at some of the messages that Micah brought last year with the Sermon on the Mount, and this one was covered, but hopefully maybe I will cover it, you know, in a little bit more. He brought it with, you know, in conjunction with a few others, and I'll try to kind of narrow it down a little bit. So let's see. Review is always good, right? Right? We can never get tired of the word. So if you would stand with me, we'll read together. We're just going to read these two verses, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. You guys ready? This service is full tonight. I'm loving this. Like, it just, like, there's heads all the way back. I love that. It's a solid Saturday night. All right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. These are the very words of God. Here we go. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, even just for these two verses. Lord, I pray that you would just speak clearly to us tonight. May your word for us resonate deeply, Lord, on this early part of January 2026. Lord, would you speak to us, Lord? Speak to our hearts. Speak a message to us that convicts us, that brings us great encouragement, just what we need, Lord. You know us better than we know ourselves. So thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this message tonight in your mighty name. Amen? All right. Please have a seat. All right, so Sermon on the Mount, right? There's a few chapters here of Jesus in his early ministry in Galilee, right, where he was sharing with his disciples and crowds, right? He sat down and he was, you know, in that area. We went to Israel in November. How many of you were there? It was amazing. We went to the Mount of Beatitudes, right? We were there. Micah preached a sermon. There's a beautiful, I think the Catholic Church kind of manages that area. They have a church on the property where the Mount of Beatitudes is. It was beautiful. It overlooks the Sea of Galilee. It was absolutely incredible to realize like that we were literally there. We were where Jesus was preaching this sermon. It was the coolest thing. There was a crowd, right? And his disciples, and he was teaching. So this part of the Sermon on the Mount, talking about the narrow way, was, you know, sort of sandwiched in between, you know, him talking about prayer, right? Ask, seek, and knock. And then this warning about false prophets, right? So and in between there is just these little two verses, enter by the narrow gate. So again, this is earlier on in Jesus' ministry. Now, if you go to Luke's account of the same narrow gate message, well, not exactly the same, but he records Jesus again preaching about this narrow gate concept, but it's not the same moment. It wasn't the same sermon. It was actually much later on in his ministry. So around Luke 9, Jesus set his eyes unto Jerusalem. He knew where he was going. The shadow of the cross was upon him. All right, and he was on his way to Jerusalem. He knew what was ahead. He had maybe 6, 7, 8 months to go before that Last Supper and before that, you know, horrific lashing that he took and ultimately crucifixion on the cross. So he brought it up again, though. He shared this same concept, this enter through the narrow gate. He brought it up again, years later in his ministry. So they weren't the same moments, and they actually have distinct characteristics. This first one here at the Sermon on the Mount, it's more of an invitation, like, hey, enter through the narrow gate, right? It was, you know, again, sandwiched in between. We're gonna get a little bit of context and back up a little bit and look at the prayer that he's asking us to pray before he even tells us about the narrow gate. But after that, we're gonna turn to Luke. All right, Luke 13, and we're going to look at a much spicier Jesus, okay? All right, where he is he knows that his time is almost up. He knows he has a limited amount of time with his disciples, and he's much sharper, all right? So if we would call the Sermon on the Mount rendition, if you will, or message about the narrow gate, if we would call that an invitation, in Luke 13, we would call it a warning, okay? It's just, it was, time was short. He's like, look, I'm not going to be with you much longer. You need to make a decision on how you're going to live your life. Okay, so a little bit of context here. Verse 7 of Matthew 7, all right? He says what? He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened for you. Okay, so it's always good for us to know, right? A little bit of context as to what's being said here and why. So we need full dependence, right? In 2026, church, full dependence. Seek after full dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ for everything that he offers. When there is a promise in the word, and an exhortation with a promise, I should say, in the word that says, do this, and here's what the result's going to be, that should really, like, get our attention, right? That should spark our attention. We should be like, oh, wait a minute. Like, God says, if I do that, this is going to be the result of it, okay? So let's look at what's happening, because that's exactly what's happening here. When he says, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. Look at verse 8. For everyone who asks, what? Receives. And he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it might be opened. It could be opened. It will, right? It will be opened. That is a promise that we can stand on, okay? And he's telling us, go to the Lord in prayer, right? Don't just sit and take life as it comes. Seek after everything that God has for you. Okay, so in 2026, let's seek after the Lord, right, that he may be found. He says he's available. He said if we ask, right, he's going to answer. If we seek, we're going to find. If we knock, he says the door will be opened for us. Okay, so we can count on his word. We can depend on his word. Now, what would hinder us from doing something like that? Unanswered prayer, right? If I had you raise your hands and say, how many of you prayed a prayer and it wasn't answered, every single one of us would raise our hands, okay? But that doesn't mean that we should stop doing it, all right? We should continue to seek after, right? This is the type of verb tense that means it's a continual command, right? It's not just ask once and then see if nothing happens, don't ask again. No, it's ask what and keep on asking. Right? Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking until you receive, until you find, until the door is open to you. Okay, some prayers take time. Why? Because God's forming our character even in the midst of our waiting, even in the midst of our patience. He's forming our character. Right? He's allowing us to walk through some things. Sometimes we ask for things prematurely. Sometimes we ask for things that we don't really need. And believe it or not, sometimes we ask for things that we don't really want, right, if we knew what God knows, all right? And that's why, thank goodness that he's God and we're not, because he knows exactly what to give us. So what is that? What does all this mean? Why is this important as it pertains to entering the narrow gate? Because entering this narrow door, entering through the narrow gate requires great humility, okay? You can't enter through this narrow gate by your own strength. You need everything that the Lord is offering you and is willing to give you, and that comes along with having a relationship with him. Right? If we look there at verse 10, if he asks, right, what man is there among you who if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a son, asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? It's just another encouragement to us. How much more, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the God of glory, the God of heaven, the God of all creation give good things to those who ask him? He will, right? How much more? Much more. right? And what are those good things? Well, among those is the greatest gift that he gave us, which is Holy Spirit, right? The empowerment of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the ability to enter in through this narrow gate, to live the life of righteousness, right? Of full surrender, which is what is required. So enter by the narrow gate, and here's the warning. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are those. Many are those who go in by it. And narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. What a unfortunate statistic, right? I mean, Jesus, he knew man. He didn't. No one need to explain man or the condition of the human condition to him. He knew men, right? He knows our issues. He knows our sin. He knows what separates us from the Almighty. And here he is reminding this crowd in this sermon. Look, there's a right way to do this life in Christ, and there's a wrong way. The right way is a narrow gate, right? And it's difficult, right? Difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. But how many good things are there in life that were just easy? If you think about it, think about, like, you know, when you were in school. I mean, some of you had that annoying sibling who didn't have to study, right? And they just got A's all the time. Did anybody have one of those? Who is that sibling? Anybody here? Will you admit it? Yeah, you're saying. Right, but for the most, and generally speaking, right, if you needed to get good grades in school, you had to set aside the time. Like, no, I'm not going out to play. No, I'm not going to be, you know, watching TV or on my phone or whatever. I got to study, right? It requires discipline. You want to build up your body, you know, your muscles, get fit, stronger, whatever. You got to go to the gym, and that hurts, right? Lifting weights and running and cardio and all that stuff, it's hard on your body, right? But if you want that goal, right, you know you have to put in that time. You want to learn a new sport, right? Or you have a new hobby or even a new relationship. It requires effort. It requires time. It requires diligence for us to seek after those things. It doesn't just come naturally. Many are those who come in through the wide gate because it's easy. It's natural. It's the human condition. It's the default position. We're just going to go, we're going to follow the path of least resistance, just naturally. It's just our default mode of operation. But if we want more out of this year, guys, if we want more out of 2026, we've got to know who we are in Christ. Are we fully surrendered to him? Do we take him at his word? Have we laid our life down before him? Are we just kind of that complacent Christian who just says, yeah, I go to church. You know, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I have a Bible. I don't read it much, but I have one. You know, and maybe you throw a little bit of money, you know, in the tithe bucket, but there's no real transformation of life. And maybe even that type of person will complain about all the challenges that they have in their lives, you know, but never take that step that's necessary to fully surrender everything to the Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of everything that he's offering, for the sake of the good gifts, right, that he wants to give us. It requires a choice to enter in through that narrow gate. It requires a full surrender, and it requires us fully depending on him, not ourselves, his strength, not ours, his will, right? Not ours be done. So let's go with me over to Luke. Let's look at Luke's account of this same concept of entering through the narrow gate. Okay, we'll go to Luke 13. Like I said, this is a bit more of a warning. This is spicy Jesus over here. All right? Six months or so to go left in his ministry, and his desire was to give those he loved, those he knew that he wasn't going to have a lot more time with, to give them the proper instruction, the proper warning, the proper conviction that was necessary for them to live their lives for him, because he knew he wasn't going to be there to keep repeating himself, if you will. So look at Luke 13, verse 22. So again, a little bit of context in Luke here. I think I already gave you the most of the context here. He had his eyes set on Jerusalem. He knew, right? Yeah, I've given you all this already. He knew his time was short. All right, so let's read this. All right. Verse 22, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and are not able, will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you're from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you're from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and west and from the north and south and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. So you see how it's a little sharper tone in that. Did you recognize that there? All right? And this isn't, suddenly it's not just about, it doesn't, like, if you were just to read the Sermon on the Mount version, you might think it's just about, oh, I just need to live my life, you know, more for Christ. I need to be a little better Christian. But as we look at it here, towards the end of his ministry, he's drawing a sharp distinction here, saying, look, if you don't enter through the narrow gate, you have no part with me. There's a fruit that comes from following the Lord. There's an outcome. There's a measure. There's something that you can test, you can recognize it in a believer when they have their life fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the opposite, of course, is also true. And so which side of that do we want to find ourselves on? Do we want to be the type who people are like, wow, you're a Christian? Oh, I would have never guessed. Right? Or do we want it to be said about us like, I've never met anybody like them. Anytime I have any problem, they're available. If I have a need, they're at my house. They're texting me. They're checking in on me, right? They're so generous. Like, they're the most forgiving people. I gotta say, I mistreated them early on, and they just kept coming back and just loving me though I was so mean to them. Right? Do we want that said about us? Or do we want to just be the one who, they're like, yeah, well, you don't look much different than your unbelieving neighbor. That's not who we want to be, guys. So let's look at this. Jesus, this someone asked him, hey, are there many who are saved? Well, he says, are there few who are saved, right? Few or many? How many? How many are saved? And Jesus, as he does, he didn't even answer him, right? He just spoke, and he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Strive, that word strive, to contend, to make effort, to engage, right? To struggle. To struggle. There's no there's no presumption there, like, you know, oh, I already, it's, you know, I'm already in, I'm good, right? It was, it's this characteristic of us where you just, you want everything that the Lord has to offer you. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. Why? He says, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. So to strive is not, that's not a salvation point. It's not like strive and repent aren't the same word, but they're, in this context, they're complementary. They're related to one another. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, because many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. For why? For when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us, and he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Try to picture standing before the Lord one day, thinking that you're in because you went to church. You're in because you did some Christian-y things, right? You're in because someone told you you're good. And then you stand before him one day, only to hear that horrible phrase, I never knew you. Contrast that with the blessed day that we as believers, as children of the Most High God, go to stand before him one day and hear that all coveted phrase, which is what? Well done, right? Good and faithful servant. I don't say this to scare you. I don't say this to cause you to question your faith or your Christianity. The narrow gate doesn't save you, okay? Jesus does. It's you're not saved by the narrow gate, but what entering in through the narrow gate does, it's repentance is turning from your sin. It's turning around. The striving to enter in is not turning back, not compromising, not saying it's too hard. Right? This life is too hard. I can't do everything that this word says. I can't do it as God says. It's just too much. I'm just gonna go back to my default mechanism. Just do whatever I feel like doing. Do what naturally comes to me. It's this life with Christ is just too hard. But yet the call is for us to strive, to not turn back, to treat our walk with the Lord as something urgent, something that requires us giving all diligence, requires us laying down our lives, right? Living the crucified life. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. That's what's required. Self-denial, not self-crucifixion, but yeah, just denying the desires and the things that stand in the way that bottleneck us taking the next step in who we are in Christ. So what will it take for us, right? If we're here tonight and that's convicting, you hear broad is the way and open is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter through it, and you think, wow, I wonder, you know, that kind of feels like me. We got to know what we're going to do about that. We got to make a decision about that. And on the other hand, maybe we say, wow, like, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Thank you, Lord. We're praising the Lord right now, you know, in our spirit, just saying thank you that you impressed this upon me many years ago. And the fruit that's come from my life is evidence that you're working mightily in me. And I pray that there's many of us, maybe all of us in this room, that is who we are. But the warning stands, right? If the warning's in there, we should read it and we should apply it to ourselves so that we can understand what's being said. Because the worst thing, right? You could be offended by the pastor, right? And leave here saying, how dare he say, you know, I'm not saved. And I didn't say that. I hope you're not receiving it as that. But question my salvation or cause me to want to think about that. Wouldn't you rather find out now right? If there was more that needed to be fully surrendered in order for you to live the life that God has for you, wouldn't you rather find out on this side of heaven, right? On this side of that day when we stand before him, rather than stand before him that day and God, man, I wish somebody would have told me, you know? I wish somebody would have stepped out and told me, though I was offended by it, I needed to hear it. Man, if that's you tonight, receive it. Hear it. Receive it for yourself and seek the Lord on it. Lord, do I know you? Have I been deceived in thinking that I was in the narrow path, but really I was more in the broad category? It doesn't take much, guys. It's confess with your mouth, right? That Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart, right? That he raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. Calling Jesus Lord, fully repenting, is turning from your old life, your old master, which was yourself and the devil, and choosing Christ. Coming to church is amazing. It's the fellowship of the body of Christ. We want to be here. But being here doesn't make us Christian. Right? Being in this building, sitting in those seats, coming weekly, and singing songs and even opening your word, that itself doesn't make us a Christian. And the last thing we'd want is to think, oh, you know, I'm doing these things, I must be a Christian. Have you fully surrendered your life to him? Do you depend on him on a daily basis for your well-being, for your good? Do you say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done? Do you know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Do you feel filled up by him to abundance? Do you have a voracious appetite to commune with him through prayer and the reading of his word? Do you want to ask and seek and knock? Because you know that promise is for you. Does that resonate in you? If it does, then you are a believer in the Almighty God. But if that does nothing for you, if you're just like, meh, like, when's this guy gonna be done? Because I gotta get some dinner in and out. I think we're going there after. Double. Right? So I'm not here trying to offend you, right? My heart is for us to just do that self-evaluation. Like, some of us are believers, right? But we need to take another step this year. We need to take another step towards the Lord and just fully surrender ourselves. It's not that we're not saved. It's just that we're not living the crucified life. We're still too caught up in the things of the world, the shiny things, right? And also the brokenness that feels like it haunts us, that we just can't shake. Right? The habitual sin, right? And the hurt from the past. We just haven't been able to shake it. And it irks us and we feel like it's a bottleneck. It prevents us from going deeper with the Lord because we're just still mad. Ask and you shall receive. Ask for gratitude. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for humility. Ask for deliverance from lust and greed and unforgiveness. Seek after it like it's a treasure. Knock on that door, check the knob until you find the one that opens up. The door will be open for you. Have hope, right? Have great hope and encouragement that everything that he's written in here is for you, right? We are the body of Christ, his very body. He's come to dwell inside of us by his Holy Spirit, the same one that raised him from the dead. We have so much cause for encouragement. So much cause. But are we living it? Are we living that out? Are we living that potential out? Or do we just fall short of it? Are we shorting ourselves of the potential of everything that's available because we have like a stinking thinking going on? The narrow gate. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Lord Jesus, may that not be anybody in this room or listening online. Verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen up, shut the door, and you begin to stand outside, knock on the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. He will answer and say to you, I don't know you or where you're from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where you're from, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. What was going on here was there was a Jewish presence in the crowd here, and there was this just assumption that they were just in. It was just automatic. There was they, because of proximity to Jesus, because of familiarity, they just figured they're in. That's the same thing like us, just coming to church, right? And just, you know, maybe doing some Christian-y type things, trying to be a good person, thinking that that's what being a Christian is about. But it's so much more. Transformation of life is what's available. Conformed to the image of Christ is our destiny. Transformed by the renewing of our mind is our calling. Jesus wasn't mincing words with the crowd here. And he was warning them in love. He wasn't trying to say, no, you're not in and you'll never be in. He's just saying, hey, you need to lay it down. You need to lay down your life. You need to repent. Just because you were with me in the crowd and you saw me preach, you didn't make a decision yet. Notice that this crowd wasn't claiming, oh, you know, we've repented. You know, we're morally, you know, we've laid down our lives. We're morally pure. They weren't, that wasn't their argument. Their argument was, hey, we hung out with you. We were in your streets. You know, with you, we're in the streets with you. We don't want familiarity to take the place of true repentance, true laying down our lives for the Lord. Verse 27, but he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you're from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. Ugh. That's a bad day. That's a bad eternity. Imagine being standing before the Lord Almighty one day, seeing behind him Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, knowing that's where you want to be in there with that group. Yet you never repented. You never made a decision for Christ. You never lived it out. You never laid it down. That's not who we want to be, guys. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. Look at verse 29. They will come from the east and the west and the north and south and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. It's amazing. This is speaking about the Gentiles. East, west, north, south. They're going to come from everywhere. These ones who were considered last will actually be brought in to be first. And those who thought they were first will actually be last if they don't repent and lay their lives down and live for the Lord. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. We're not earning salvation. We're not trying to merit something. We're striving against anything that's blocking our full surrender. It still takes repentance. We're still saved by grace through faith. This is not a contradiction to Ephesians 2:8 there, this striving to enter through the narrow gate. These things are complementary. But we pursue after him with great intention. We ask, seek, and knock with the not the encouragement. We ask, seek, and knock with just that expectation that he's going to answer everything that we're asking. Turn with me back to Matthew 7. Because so here's kind of the warning, all right? So we humbly come before the Lord seeking his empowerment. We ask, seek, and knock, right? And we receive the good gifts that he's promised us, the good things, right? Not least of which is the Holy Spirit. We've entered by the narrow gate. We've strived after it. We've entered in. We've repented. We've entered in through that narrow gate. We're accepting for ourselves the difficulty of living that life, knowing that no pain, no gain, right? We know that difficult things, good things, come with a price. We're not earning salvation, but we're diligently walking towards him. We're diligently putting off the old life, saying no more to that. I don't do that anymore. I'm with Christ now. That life is done. I'm not going to think lowly of myself that way. I'm not going to engage with those things any longer. Having that list this year in 2026, what is it that still just irks you about your walk with the Lord? Write that thing down in your prayer journal. Go after it every single day. Apply this ask, seek, knock to the sin that's at the top of your list, the thing that bothers you the most. Get after that thing this year. Transformation of life is absolutely available when we're fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let this be the year that you take that step, that next step towards him. And maybe, if there's anyone here, let this be the year that you maybe for the first time truly understand, okay, narrow gate. I think I've been doing the broad thing. I think I've been doing the wide gate thing. Just sort of doing what comes natural, what comes easy. I think I've been compromising. I'm ready. I'm ready to lay it down. I'm ready to once and for all declare Jesus as Lord and Savior. Receive the forgiveness for my sins and start living my life for Christ, no matter what's the cost. Whichever place you find yourself in this evening, hallelujah. Enter into this place of gratitude. If it's a first-time decision, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the body of Christ. Welcome to your, look left and right, you see your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Get used to them because you're going to be with them for a long time. And if it's you needing to repent for not taking things as seriously as maybe you should have, and you're convicted about that and you have been, then put a stake in the sand right here and right now for 2026, January 10th, 2026, and say, this is the day that I'm going to look back on and say that was the day that I fully submitted, fully surrendered to the will of God for my life. So here's the warning. Look at verse 15 of Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets. Okay, why are we going from enter to the narrow gate? We're ask, seek, knock, right? We need to humble ourselves and get the empowerment of the Lord, the answers to prayer, all right, in order to be able to be humble enough to enter into that narrow gate. But now we get this warning, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Here was the warning from Jesus. when we take a step towards the Lord, there's always going to be that coworker, right? That family member, somebody who's going to be like, come on. Like, again, like, you're doing this thing again? Like, the whole Jesus thing? Like, they're going to doubt us. They're going to try to drag us back down. It's like is it the lobsters that try to, like, climb out, and then the one, like, rips it back down, doesn't let it go out of the bucket? There's always going to be people. There's going to be false prophets. There's going to be naysayers who are going to try to drag us back down. And sometimes they're in sheep's clothing. They might be coming to church with you. I hope not. But, I hope so. But I just hope they're not dragging you down in the midst of that. We have to be on guard. We have to know the company that we're keeping. Okay, we can't let our well-being be judged by some person who's saying you can't do it, it's too hard. Or how come you're holding yourself to such a high standard? Like, that, you don't have to follow the Ten Commandments anymore. You know, like, that's just, come on. You go to church on Sunday, isn't that enough? You don't need those people in your life. You need boundaries from people that drag you down like that. If we want change and development and if character and godliness in 2026, let's take inventory with who's in our life. The ones that are building us up, encouraging us, saying, hey, let's, you want to pray together? You want to get into the word together? Or maybe we're the one that is saying that to others. But like-minded individuals who build us up, family of God. And the ones who drag us down, who suck us back into the old ways of life, you know, the ones that show up with the six-pack, you know, or, you know, show up with, I don't know, any number of things, whatever it is that people do to drag us down. We might need to draw a boundary with some of those people and say, you know what, this year, I'm really going after my faith in Christ. And I gotta take a little break from hanging out with you, because every time we get together, we end up getting in trouble. Or every time I leave, you know, spending time with you, I feel bad about myself, or I feel like I've made a bad choice, or whatever it is. Let's take inventory of the things in our lives that are drawing us away from the Lord. And let's take inventory of the things that are bringing us closer. Let's embellish upon those, and let's draw boundaries around the others. Let's set a new standard. Ask, seek, knock, with full expectation that he's going to meet you right where you're at. Let's have that narrow gate mentality, the difficult way mentality, knowing that if we lay down our lives, if we walk the difficult path, that he's going to empower us to continue on, and that the reward is transformation of life. When we say no to the things of the world and no to the things of the flesh, yes to the things of the Spirit, we start looking a lot more like Jesus, which is kind of the whole goal, right? That's where he wants us to be. That is literally our destiny. So, I've got one last little bit to share with you. This is some practical encouragement. As we enter into this year, we need structure. We need some structure to the way that we live this life in Christ. Okay, if you look back in the days of the monastic lifestyle, they had this thing called a rule of life, where they would have structure to their daily practice, how much time they spent in prayer, relationships, work, and rest. They had structure to all of it. It was a picture of like a trellis, right? You picture a vine that's growing up on a trellis, right? A vine by itself has no real rigidity to it. It can't grow up like a tree. If a vine just grows on the ground, it's just going to do that. Okay, it's going to get trampled on. But with structure, with a trellis, a vine can grow up and bear much fruit. It's the same way with us, to have that, have some structure in our life, right? And I shared this with the youth on Thursday night, having a mission mindset, right? That structures our life in this is how we live every single day. This is the stuff that we depend on, this is what we believe, and this, and I apply this to my life. Okay? So identity is ground floor, number one, most important thing about ourselves. We got to know that we're Christ, okay? Everything we've been talking about tonight. You've entered in through the narrow gate. You're in. You've repented. You've confessed your sin. Jesus is Lord. You've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You got to know that's who you are. And every single day, speak that over yourself, guys. This ask, seek, knock shouldn't just be when you're in trouble or when you feel like you need something. It's a proactive thing. Every single day, set that alarm for a little bit earlier and spend 15, 20, build yourself up to 30 minutes in the word and in prayer and start to speak life over yourself. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I may not feel like it all the time, right? Especially not after, you know, whatever you may have said or whatever you may have done. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, which gets you right back to your identity, the righteousness of God. So speak that over yourself every single day. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what he did, not anything that I did. Okay? And what? Once you are the righteousness of God, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in you, you will receive power. It's the only way that we can live this life. You cannot try hard enough to live your life for Christ without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So in the morning, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you who knew no sin were made to be sin so that I could partake of your righteousness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've come to dwell inside of me, to empower me. The exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe. I want to partake of that today. Remember 2 Peter 1, I shared this a month or so ago. You by his exceedingly great and precious promises, you may partake of his divine nature. That's this empowerment. And it comes because you're a believer in the Almighty God. Wisdom. Right? Do not be unwise, it says in Ephesians 5, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's wisdom. Wisdom is, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Ephesians 5:17. Speak that over yourself in the morning. Lord, today I surrender my life to you. I give this day to you. Whatever may come, hard or easy, I surrender it all to you. Would you empower me by your Holy Spirit today? Remind me that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Wisdom is knowing what the will of the Lord is. You want his will done in your life, guys. We want his will done in our lives, not our own. Kingdom. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. Kind of gets us back up to number one. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that we need is what? It's going to be added. It's going to be given to us. When we put him first, when it's not my will but yours be done. Lord Jesus, today, this morning, this is you praying. This is me praying. This morning, Lord, while it's still quiet in the house, before I go and take a shower and brush my teeth, before I get off and go to work and deal with that guy that's so annoying, I want to be a kingdom first seeker. I want to put your will, your desires, everything that you have for me before anything that I want for myself, because I know your will for my life, your kingdom purposes, and everything that you have for me is so much better than anything I could stir up for myself. And I've proved that to myself, right? We've proved that to ourselves enough, haven't we? That we can't do it well on our own. So we pray that. Lord, today let me seek first your kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and your righteousness. And you promise, Lord, that everything else will be added to me. I'm here to receive that everything, Lord. Show me what that is. Show me how to lay down my life so that I can take yours up and receive everything that you have for me. Okay, and then glory. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Lord, today in everything that I do, every transaction that I make, every conversation that I have, every thought that goes through my mind, the works of my hands, wherever my feet may take me, whether I'm at work or with family and relationship, whatever it is, Lord, I just want to glorify you. Whether I'm cleaning toilets or whether I'm serving the President of the United States, that would be awesome. I want to do it all for your glory, Lord. Help me to live my life for your glory. Help me to shine my light. You call me the light of the world, Lord. Help me to shine that light today. I just want to represent your glory. I promise you, if you start every day that way, life, and maybe you already are and you can testify, but if you haven't, if this isn't your normal routine, let 2026 be the year that you get on mission for laying down your life for the Almighty Jesus and the full potential that he has for your life. May it come completely true. May you bear much fruit. Speak this over yourself, guys. This is five of my kind of favorite verses. You can apply, I gave it even a little bit different to the youth on Thursday night, but you can apply anything and you can pray any aspect of the word, but this is just some structure. We got to know who we are in Christ, that we're the righteous of God. We got to know that we're empowered, that he came to live and dwell inside of us to give life to our body, our mortal bodies. That's encouraging. It should be encouraging to us. It's not our own effort. It's his in us. We got to seek after his will and not our own every single day, because whenever we seek after our own will, we end up getting ourselves in trouble or getting off track with everything that he has for us. We got to have a priority in our life that says, no, kingdom first. And that will help us make decisions. Do I buy this house? Which car do I buy? How about this relationship? Well, that conversation, do I watch this movie? Should I look at that on my phone? You know, should I get this subscription? Okay, well, how does that line up with the kingdom? It helps us to make decisions in every aspect of our life. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. So I pray that we can make this our mission, to have a mission mindset this year and structure our lives so that we can truly become more like him this year. That we can look back and say, wow, 2026 was incredible. Not because it went so good and everything was so good and I got wealthy and you know, my health was perfect and everything was so great. But you don't need all that to work out in order to be smack dab in the middle of the will of God for your life. Many of those things will work out when we live our lives for him. But I promise you, it starts with us daily seeking after him in a structured manner and saying, not my will, but yours be done. The narrow gate. Ask, seek, knock. Knowing that he's gonna give you everything that you need. Amen? All right, so the worship team, we'll come back up. We've got one last song. All right, and we can close in prayer. If you have any questions, guys, if there's anything I said that offended you, talk to Pastor Micah. I'm just kidding. Email Pastor Micah. I'll never be up here again. If there's anything that was confusing, anything that, you know, that you just want to get some clarification on, please, you can talk with me, you can talk with another pastor here. We just want, we want the best for you. As the family of God here at Godspeak Church, we want this year to be a memorable year, an amazing year. The year that you saw the fulfillment of God's will in your life. You saw the deliverance from things that have been bothering you and haunting you for God knows how long. All that stuff can be remedied and rectified when we seek after him in a diligent way. So please, ask, seek, knock. Start there. Surrender your life fully to him and believe that all things are possible through him who gives us strength. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this evening. Lord, I pray this message, Lord, was from you, Holy Spirit. I pray that it resonated with each of us just exactly as we needed, Lord. That you spoke directly to our hearts, Lord, and not in a condemning way, Lord, but just with great conviction, Lord. Shame and condemnation is not kingdom. And I thank you for that. I pray that none of us leaves here condemned, thinking, oh, what a failure, what a loser am I? I don't even know if I'm saved, Lord. You know us, Lord, and may we know you. May we come to you, Lord, tonight and always, Lord, just fully surrendered, fully humbled, laying our lives down for you, Lord, knowing we're forgiven, knowing your grace and mercy are in abundance and full effect in our lives. And may 2026, Lord, and especially here in January, may this be the beginning of a great transformation of life this year. May there be no limit to what's possible in you. We lay these things down in Jesus' name. Amen.